take a break. And apologies to everybody out there because we did take a break. The Christmas season, and you know what? This 2021 has started off as a complete bang for a lot of vacation rental companies. It is, it's like everybody's up. Almost everybody's up. It's just kind of market dependent. But just that pent up demand is there, and people are taking advantage of it. And we'll get into that a bit more later in the podcast as our topic. But it's just unbelievable to see how the industry has shifted and the force that's been shifted. I guess you could say the force behind the shift. You know, this people are adapting to vacation rentals the same way that people are adapting to using Zoom. You know, it's that forced integration, and it's gonna bode well for our industry for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yep, yeah. Well, I can tell you one thing.
What's that?
Paul finally smells good.
Yes, I do. So that might actually be if nobody's heard us talk about this before.
I think we should leave them wondering.
Yeah, okay,
let's leave. Got to go back and listen to previous episodes.
That's true. That's very true.
So, I mean, what do you think? What do you think of the soap?
It's
What was your opinion? I haven't even asked you yet. What was your initial opinion of it?
Oh yeah, like so you open it up and obviously the smells are pretty exuberant. No, they're pretty intense. And then it gets better as you soap with it, wash with it. It's not as overpowering. It's I don't know, they're perfect. I love them. So a big thank you to Derek out there, our first Patreon supporter. And for those of you who don't know what Patreon is, every single podcast and every single genre always has a Patreon account that they accept donations for. So
except us.
It was just a joke, but yeah, thank you out there, Derek. He's with Sand Stays, and that was a very very great gesture for a Christmas gift for us. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. My favorite was actually Pine Tar. I don't know if you found a favorite bar that you liked,
but you know
Paul
what?
And I ended up splitting the bars equally between each other. And I think my favorite was Pine Tar.
It's so funny because I
money for that one again.
I had a I forgot which one it was. It was another soap company that was Pine something, and I did not like it, but I do like this one.
Yeah. So yeah. They were really good actually. Like I was very impressed. I opened it up and I was like, oh, it's just gonna be soap, and it's like, oh my god, this is pretty good.
So I guess it's worth the money.
I might pay the money for for more bars.
Right, exactly.
You know? No, big thank you to Derek. Thank you so much. That was awesome. We should probably introduce ourselves.
I think so. I think you go first. I usually take the reins on the first going.
Okay. Well, I am David Thompson, the Director of Social Media for Intercoastal Net Designs.
And I am Paul Hanick. I'm the Director of Digital Marketing for IC&D. We're a vacation rental marketing and website development company. So we specialize in the VR industry, mainly direct bookings. We're starting to get into the Google Travel hotel ads / vacation rental ads / whatever you want to call it, as well, getting that syndication out there for our clients. So if you have any interest in that, let us know. We'll talk more about that on the next podcast, but this one we've got chock full of other stuff. So
yeah, mainly what is 2021 going to be like,
right?
Just for new listeners out there, if you're new to this, normally we kind of go through a couple questions. We did have a request from Derek that we're going to honor, which is bring back Tool of the Day. So we are going to be talking about a Tool of the Day, and then we've got a couple topics about 2021 that we think are going to be very valid.
Oh yeah.
So what were you going to say though, Paul? You're going to say something.
I don't know.
That's I think that's been the trend for 2021. It's like, what were we going to say?
Right.
I don't know.
Up in the air. Like, everything is just
up in the air. Has it been crazy for you, though?
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I mean, the first couple weeks of the month, it's just been, like, out of the gate, like, pedal to the metal. It's great. It's really good to see.
Yeah.
So, it's, yeah. I can't, there's no other way to describe it. It's unlike anything we've ever seen before in the industry, and it's just going to keep going in that good direction, I really feel. But first off, though, let's go to our questions and answers segment. Basically, we have questions for each other, just one-offs, and then we get into some of our other topics. So I'll let you go first, David.
Yeah, so... actually, a question from one of our longtime listeners. Lance asks, can I add my properties to Google Maps individually, and does Google frown on that?
Yes. So when we're talking about Google Maps, we do have to make a very big distinction between Google Maps versus Google My Business. So Google Maps is kind of its own separate standalone tool, and Google My Business is its own tool. However, they do coincide with one another. Now, let's layer on Google Hotel Ads and Google Vacation Rental Ads, because those also are adding listings to Google Maps. This is actually going to be a very long answer now that I think about it, because there's three different paths that we have to go down. Let me start with the easy one. No, there's no easy one. Let me just start talking. Google Maps is, and Google My Business, let me just say this right out of the gate, and I'm not going to sugarcoat this. They are probably the most unpoliced thing that Google has out there that relies way too heavily on people to get it right. So, for example, are you a Google guide, David?
Am I a Google guide?
Yeah. Are you a Google guide?
No, I'm not a Google guide. Okay. I'm not that tuned in on Google.
Right, right. So
I am on some Facebook pages, though. I'm one of those, what do they call them? What is it? You get a badge for it. I was so happy when I got a badge.
You got the badge.
Like, when you post a lot to a company,
yeah,
you become like the one person, like, answer all the questions anyway.
Contributor, top contributor.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, Google guides, basically, Google has this thing to where if you write a lot of reviews, take a lot of pictures of things, and if you can, answer questions about businesses, a whole bunch of little things like that. So if you do enough of this, you get points. The more points you get, the higher of a guide level you are. So the more you do this, the more and the higher your status quo is in Google, the more control you have. So, for example, if you're a Google guide level 5 or level 6, you can head into Google Maps and start a new business at a location. Just add it in there, and then all of a sudden there's this new business that's doesn't exist that's on Google Maps. You don't even have to be a guide to do that. It's just easier to do because Google already believes you because you've been doing reviews and pictures and stuff after a while. And since there's no filter process, there's really no... there's no way to control the data that's out there other than relying on these Google guides. Now, it's pretty easy to be a Google guide. You just have to answer questions and write reviews and take pictures and stuff like that. It's not hard.
Yeah.
So these Google guides also have the ability to shut down businesses on Google Maps. If you go to a business,
a lot of power for a consumer.
Exactly, isn't it? It's very, and that's what I mean. It's very unpoliced. So yeah. let me circle around to the original question. Can I add my properties to Google Maps individually? Yeah, you definitely can. So there's the with the like Vrbo and Airbnb and Booking.com. I see a lot of this with Booking.com. So a lot of these services that get you into the Google Hotel ads, Google/vacation rental ads, they are also adding properties to Google Maps. Now, what's happening is that it's adding these properties and adding the pictures from your PMS, and all of a sudden there's a listing out there on Google Maps for your property. Now, here's the downside. When there's a Google Maps listing out there, nobody has control over it. And what I mean by that is if somebody uploads a bad picture to Google Maps, a Google Maps listing, you can't do anything about it. You can't take it down.
Really?
You can't dispute it. You can't you can't do anything. You can flag it, but you as a business owner can't do anything about it unless that Google Maps listing becomes a Google My Business listing. So you have to then claim that Google Maps listing and turn it into a Google My Business listing. So,
interesting.
The flip side to that is it is against Google's terms of use to have a vacation rental as a Google My Business listing. So let's think about this. So the only option you have to add your properties to Google Maps is either going through one of the syndication services that automatically puts them out there in a very, very bad format, I do have to say, or you can do it yourself. You can actually go in and go to your go create a new listing at the address of property XYZ, upload some pictures, add as much information as you possibly can in there, and then if somebody does Google that house name, then it will show up on the right in Google as a knowledge panel. So there's no problem with doing that whatsoever. The downside is you can't control what people do to that listing because it's not a claimed listing. It's just a map listing. Does that make sense?
Yes. I'm going to say yes.
It's a lot to take in. It's a lot.
That is a lot to take in.
But so, you can't make it a Google My Business listing because it's against Google's terms of use. So the only option you have is to add these listings to Google Maps. And then, hopefully nobody writes a bad review, or hopefully nobody uploads bad pictures of dirty air vents or the top of the fridge that wasn't cleaned. You know what I'm talking about.
You know who you are.
Yeah, exactly. Which is pretty much every rental company at some point, unfortunately. But yeah, so that's kind of the ins and outs of it, is that it's so unpoliced that you can do anything, and the consumer can do anything as long as they have enough status quo with Google. So that's the unfortunate thing about it. Now, in time, I'm hoping that there will be some synergy there. And we even have a client. Here's another off tangent. We have a client right now that let's say they basically have one listing in a certain condo unit, condo building complex. And that one listing, which shares the same address as the condo complex, is now a quote unquote department of that condo complex. And it has been a major pain to try to get Google to take that quote-unquote department off of this major hotel/condo complex just because it used the same address. So that's what I mean about the being unpoliced, is that these algorithms just do things, and it seems like nobody's listening. Google is not listening, that's kind of the bad part about it, So yeah, add your map. You can add your listings to Google Maps, but I do not take any blame for anything that will happen to them afterward, or what Google might do afterward as well.
You're at the whim of the consumer, unfortunately.
Right. Exactly.
And Google.
Exactly.
That is a lot of power.
It is. I mean,
thank goodness consumers don't have that much power when it comes to social media.
right, exactly. Yeah, let's segue into your question now, because that one took a lot out of me.
Yeah, go ahead. Fire away.
What's like? Oh man, and I think I ask you this almost every couple of months, but I'm going to do this in a Jerry Seinfeld voice. What's the deal with Facebook? So you know, social media, Facebook. Like, it seems like there's new things being adopted and forced upon us, and new ways that we have to bend a knee to Facebook. You know?
Yeah, I mean there definitely is. So the newest update with Facebook is actually they're requiring advertisers to verify their account, and the verification process is a two-step process. First they ask you for a phone number, a valid phone number, they send you a text code, or they call you or whatever. And then it puts you on another screen and it says, we need a government issue ID. And it can be, they list out, it can either be a driver's license or a passport or some other form of government issue ID. And I can't remember if it said has to be a photo ID or not. I know not all government issued IDs are photo IDs. So anyway, I got a notification for us when this happened. And it said, you've got to verify your account. And I did. I started going in and doing the whole process. I had agreed to some terms, and no one reads those things. I should have, but I was in a hurry to get some ads done. And so anyway, so I clicked on it, and it took me to that page, and I was like, oh no. And it shut everything down. It like locked me out. I was like, oh no, like what is going on? So it said, verify your account. So I verified the phone number. And then it was like, you need to upload your ID. And I was like, this is what it's come to. Facebook is asking for my driver's license.
Right.
That's pretty crazy. I mean, think about that for a second. That's pretty significant, I think.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Not to go down any rabbit holes or anything. But so I uploaded my driver's license. They verified the account. It took about 5 to 7 business days, I think. And we got turned back on, and it was completely fine. So my suggestion to any advertisers out there, anyone who's doing advertising with IC&D currently, everything's fine. It's golden. But if you are not doing advertising with us, you might want to look into verifying your account. Let me pull it up. I can't remember specifically where it's at, but it's actually in your business manager. There's a section in there. I think it's called like security or something like that. Let's see here. Business settings. So if you go to your business settings within Facebook, it's under Security Center. So you can go to Security Center and actually verify the account in that in that portal.
Yeah, so definitely recommend doing that before you get the slap on, or well, I won't say slap on the wrist, but definitely do that now while you can before it forces you to, right?
Yeah. So what they do normally when they do something like that is they'll roll it out as accept our terms of use. Once you click on that and accept the new terms of use, then it's more of like a prompt notification, like, hey, you know, this is something new, and then it'll ask you to verify the account. So eventually it's going to lock people down and say you can't use your account until you verify your account. One thing to remember when you do go through that verification process is it's actually, once you start it, you have a timer of 30 days. And if you do not verify your account within 30 days, it will actually shut you down indefinitely, like 100%. So once you do it, make sure you follow through with the steps and just do it right then and there, because there's a timer. So that's the new thing with Facebook. I'm assuming that we're going to see a couple more regulations. There's one other one that Twitter just released, a new civic integrity policy, which I thought this was kind of interesting. It's not necessarily related to the vacation rental industry, but if you think about it, it's pretty significant. So their civic integrity policy states that anyone that publishes any misinformation that would go against the guidelines of any sort of municipal, state, or city, or federal government entity on what they're publishing in regards to, let's say, elections or something along those lines, anything that would interfere with that as far as misinformation goes, you can actually have your Twitter account either suspended or shut down and deleted. There was actually a senator that had her account suspended for a little bit due to what they claimed misinformation. That's how it kind of got brought to light. And they released, they said, well, we've got a new civic integrity policy. And then there was also, I think, something like 70,000 Twitter accounts that were shut down for spreading misinformation. But more in regards to like conspiracy theories and stuff like that. So,
right.
I mean, I love a good conspiracy theory. We ought to do an episode just on conspiracy theories.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Should be like a part of... How do you know it's real?
And then it'll get taken down by the civic integrity policy.
Yeah. So I would assume that Facebook is going to probably do somewhere along the same thing. Normally, if one social media channel does something, the rest tend to adopt it.
Yeah.
So we're probably going to see some more regulations come out in the next couple months. Facebook is desperately trying to make sure that their advertising is up to par as far as like proper advertising and making sure that people are valid and what the ads are valid, which if you think about it from a consumer's perspective, you definitely want that because you want to, you know, if you, let's say you get served an ad on Facebook and you click on it, you want to make sure that what you're clicking on is like valid information and you're not just going to get taken to some spam website.
Right.
All those do unfortunately still exist. But my suggestion to everyone out there would be stay limber with social media for the next couple months or the next year.
The next 2 years.
I mean, we know it constantly changes, but really stay limber. I know a lot of people have gotten frustrated because of the special ads category that you are supposed to be in, even though you're not supposed to be in it.
Right.
Facebook still shuts down vacation rental managers because they think that it's ads towards housing or real estate, and it's not. So that's frustrating. So just stay limber. Stay proactive on that stuff. And if you have any questions, we're always here to answer those. So
yeah, it's definitely gonna be tough looking forward. I mean, I don't know if you remember right, but the targeting. Just as a consumer, think about this like 2.5, 3 years ago, somewhere over there. The ability to target was a lot more creepy than it is today.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I could target someone based off their income, based off their credit score.
Right.
Based off how many children they had in the household. I mean, that's scary.
Right,
that's
right.
Really, but that's a lot of information.
As advertisers, that's good information to have. But on the flip side, we're crossing a privacy line there. Now,
it definitely crosses a privacy
line. Yeah, so it's one of those. So, you know, Facebook has all this ability to do all this stuff, but now they have to start scaling back, all social media. And, you know, having to censor certain things and, you know, shut down accounts, stuff like that. I still feel like we're in the, I won't say infantile stages, but maybe we're in the adolescent stages of social media. And it's just going to keep evolving. And, you know, we adapted so quickly, we erupted with all of this so quickly that we still have to figure it out. And you know, who makes that decision? You know, who decides what goes against the civic integrity? I can't say any of those words right.
You were close.
Policy. Oh, that man. You know, it's like, it's one of the who decides that. So it's probably why these one-off social media platforms are getting popular. You know, the ones that do not censor, quote unquote.
That's why
people are going to that. So anyway, not to get political or anything or or go down that road, but it's going to be an interesting ride for us in this industry for sure.
Yeah, it definitely will. And I mean, those policies can sometimes overlap into vacation rental advertising. You know, sometimes that stuff does kind of overlap into our realm, and sometimes it doesn't. So that's why I'm telling people, just stay limber, just take a deep breath. If you have questions, reach out to us or do a little bit of research. It can be very frustrating. I probably more than most people know how frustrating it can be. And it might be even more so to a vacation rental manager, because they don't have the time to just dive into, okay, well, what's really going on? It's like you got 1,000 other things to think about. So, that's why we have tools.
Ooh, that was a segue. Look at that. All right.
Look at that. Good one. Look at that segue.
I'll give you that one. So, tool of the day. Wow, we've already been almost 30 minutes. We haven't even gotten to our main topic yet. So, tool of the day is it's something that's been around for a long time, and it's something that I do have to remind vacation rental companies that it is out there. And it's called the, well, there's a lot of different names for it. I'm going to call it the Google UTM generator code thingy. How about that? If you Google that, then you'll be able to find it. But it actually does have a few different names. The main one that you would want to Google out there is UTM URL generator, or that Google Analytics URL generator, something like that. So, and these different tools out there, everybody, they're quite popular on the front page of Google.
Yeah.
Basically, all you do is gain control of your analytics. So, let's say that you have a email campaign that you have going on, or you have or you're advertising on the Chamber of Commerce website, or let's say that you strike a relationship with findrentals.com, and you want to track all this stuff, right? You want to see what happens when they get to your website. Well, if you don't use UTM codes, which are unique tracking codes that you give out to all these third parties, you're not really getting the right information in your Google Analytics. I see this a lot with emails too. I'm sure you do too. Yeah. Like, we take over some email campaigns for clients, and they weren't really tracking the emails, and it was going into the Google Analytics's direct none channel, which is basically Google doesn't know where this traffic is coming from, but it's there, so we're just going to put it in this bucket. So you have no idea what's going on with your traffic. So the tracking code basically asks you for three main things. You can add more, but here's the three that you have to put in there. So there's source, there's medium, and there's campaign. Now, do you have to use all of them? No, but it is recommended that you do use at least those three. So the source would be if Google. Or the source could be findrentals.com. The source could be whatever you want to use. It can be anything. Facebook. Yeah, it could be anything. You can make stuff up. It doesn't matter. And Google's going to use that and put it in Google Analytics. So you can look at this data later. But obviously, you want to use something that makes sense. So, and the kind of the downside to this, though, and here's what I recommend. If you're going to start using UTM codes, make sure that you keep a spreadsheet of all of them that you use, because there's no real good way to keep track of what you've used in the past.
Yeah.
So that would be my recommendation. So you've got source, you've got medium, and you've got campaign. So the source is where the traffic's coming from. The medium is the type that it is, such as if it's a referral or a paid ad or anything like that. And then the campaign is where you get hyper-specific. So campaign could be, if you are running, if you're doing emails and you want to track the different types of the different campaigns that you send out. So your source and medium could be the same, email and then email if you want to be basic, and then your campaign would be that differentiator so that you know the difference between all the different campaigns that you have set out.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't confuse anybody with that.
So I will say, I'm going to add to that.
Please do.
So Facebook actually has their own UTM generator.
Right.
When you go to their ads manager. If you're at the ad level, you can drop in your URL, and then it will say ad URL tracking. I think it's URL tracking. Anyway, it's a little link right below the URL. Click on it, and it will ask you for the different things. And I think it does give you like an explanation as to what you would put in, but source is always Facebook. Medium, I always put PPC for pay-per-click.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I do across every channel. And then I'll put in the campaign name. And normally it coincides with the campaign that I've named it within Facebook so that I can easily, you know, when I'm doing reporting or something like that, I can easily say, okay, this campaign matches up with the ID that I've given it in Facebook, or I can search for, in Google.
Right.
I can search for that campaign name in Google and it will come up.
Right.
And then if I'm running, there's one more level that it goes down to ad. So it goes campaign and then ad. So if I'm running like some A/B testing or something like that, or I'm running two ads that are, you know, maybe one's a video and one's a static image, I'll put video and static image.
Right.
And see which one generates more. And so that's just one more level that you can go down to test things and track. So
yeah,
it's very handy tool across the board.
Right.
Because it gives you, cause if you didn't do it, let's just say for Facebook, if you didn't tag things, it would just come in as a referral.
Yeah.
So, and referral traffic can be anything. It could be organic traffic. It could be mobile traffic. It could be anything. So,
yeah. Yeah. Did you post a pretty beach photo and put a link in it? There's Facebook. Or did you pay for that ad? Well, there's a Facebook referral. So you gotta yeah, separate those. It's all the source of Facebook. But once you break it up, then you really start seeing what drives the money.
Yeah,
that's what we need, right? All right, let's move on to our final topic. If you're still with us, thank you.
Only 33 minutes in. Right? About 30 minutes somewhere in there.
Yeah. We try to keep it at about 30 minutes, but we're definitely going on. Let's start off 2021 with a bang.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
The I was how do I start this out? I think here's my opinion, and I have some little tidbits, and David does too, that is gonna justify said opinion. I believe 2021 is gonna be a record-breaking year for the vacation rental industry. What do you think?
When he told me that, when Paul said that, I was like, "Do explain, please. Please explain.
Why?
Explain yourself.
Why?"
Yeah.
So, here's the thing. I don't know, where do I start? So the industry itself was always a step behind the hotel industry. And when I say a step behind, I'm thinking adoption rates, you know, people being accustomed to using vacation rentals. The same way people shifted from using taxi cabs to Uber and Lyft. So, you know, that adoption took off pretty quickly. But the vacation rental industry didn't have that same takeoff, I guess you could say. Now,
no.
With so point number one is with COVID, everybody was kind of forced to look at an alternate way of taking their vacation and look for these private homes. You know, these private homes that don't have a lot of foot traffic and aren't hotels and don't have common areas and you know, with you know, breakfast bagels and stuff that you can catch COVID from, you know. So it's that privacy that people were looking for, and that the only way to get that privacy was through a vacation rental, was through a private residence, a private home. And you know, if in your way of thinking, you can easily disinfect a home by yourself if you're so inclined. Whereas if you brought Lysol wipes into the elevators at hotel rooms and wiped down everything, you know, that could get old. So as we came out of the gate with COVID and the scare was still there and things were opened back up, but people were still, you know, apprehensive, you know, that the VR industry took a good increase. You know, it was nice to see. And 2020, the end of 2020 started, but ended very well for a lot of our clients. It was a huge breath of relief, and it started off 2020. It started off the momentum in 2021. So that was my point number one. Do you want to go for the next one?
Yeah, I can do the next one. So I think the next point is that will help improve things in 2021 is the fact that the vaccine is finally getting rolled out.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're seeing that people are taking to that quite well, it seems like. You know, I mean, you can just kind of only say what you've heard, you know, but it seems like for the most part, people are taking to that quite well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think once that does sort of roll out fully, or we get more into that, I think it's going to give people a little bit more comfort in this idea of traveling. And if they have a new way to travel, well, maybe I'll stop there. I'll stop. I'll let you go to the next one. I may be jumping over to different points.
Yeah. So that's a perfect. The vaccine is definitely giving us hope. Hope for Obi-Wan Kenobi. I went there. That's right.
Yeah. That's right. There you go. Everyone knows where you stand now. You're a Star Wars person.
That's right.
Not a Star Trek person.
Well, I can be both. Yeah, more Star Wars. But yeah, so kind of my other point was not sugarcoat this, but everyone got screwed out of their vacation in 2020, right? It was the vacation that people did take was a adjusted vacation. It was not the one that they had planned. It was not the big hurrah per year that they go out and do. It was a and even if it was the one that was planned, it was one that they took with a lot of apprehension and a lot of fear, I guess. You know, traveling to a new...
It wasn't as relaxed as
exactly, it normally is. Exactly. So looking forward, you know, with the vaccine rolling out and with the... This kind of goes with another point, but I'm going to say it anyway. With the adoption of social distancing and with the us being able to cope with it and learn how to social distance and learn how to wear masks and learn all this stuff, it's kind of second nature now, right? We've been down this road, so that fear isn't there anymore as much as it used to be. Despite the numbers increasing, the fear still isn't, it's still not there. So
yeah,
between the two, that's just another point of why 2021 is going to be rolling out strong.
Yeah, I would say the one after that would be, and I was going to touch on this, but I didn't want to jump over your next point, but people that probably wouldn't try vacation rentals, and I think you even touched on this a little bit, but people that tried vacation rental or didn't try, Lord have mercy, people that normally wouldn't try a vacation rental that would instead go to a hotel, they did try it in 2020 because of your point of it being more private, not common areas, and their mind a little bit safer. And I think a majority of the people actually enjoyed it, and they were thinking, "Oh my gosh, this is a nice experience," you know. And it's really no different cost wise. So right. You know, why points. Not go this route? So right. I think people that did try it in 2020 are going to be more apt to try it. So it's sort of opened up the ability to target people that you wouldn't have gone after, in 2020 or previous years,
right?
I've been actually revising a lot of my audiences. I mean, we do revise every once in a while, but really revamping, okay, let's really look at our audiences, because we're finding for social audiences, people that have really never engaged with the social channel are now engaging. It's completely disrupted, you know, some of those audience groups and brought in fresh new users. So right. It's been quite nice to see.
Right. Yeah. And then lastly, I mean, I think we can all agree, and we've all said this before, you know, traveling abroad is almost out of the question these days for everybody. These vacations that people are taking are going to be local to the U.S., obviously driving distances and stuff like that. So that money is going to stay in the U.S., and it's going to come to the vacation rentals. So, you know, this is all, I don't want to say speculation, but if the first, just so you know, it is January 20th right now, and the first 20 days of 2021 have been record-breaking. Yeah. We've had, like, a huge increase in bookings. You know, a lot of our clients are up 15, 20, 25. Even one of them is up 50% over last year. And this was, you know, pre-COVID, was January of last year. So, you know, it's one of those to where we know that pent-up demand is there. We know people are taking their vacations. But the question that is still in limbo is, when are people going to book, right? And when as in when they're actually making the reservation, and then when as in when are they actually coming? So those are the things that are to be determined. And I really feel like it's going to be there. People are going to take these vacations, but we don't know if they're going to do it now or if they're going to do it later. So one of those things that I kind of want to hint at is, look at your cancellation policy. Make sure it's apparent on your site. And, you know, if you have something that's flexible, and or if you don't and your competition has something that's flexible, then, you know, you might want to think about overhauling that a little bit and going along those lines to try to make people convert with you rather than your competition, you know, because the fear is still there.
Yeah. I'm wondering if, you know, in previous years, we've seen a lot of planned out vacations. Mm-hmm. And I know 2020 was a lot of very short notice, you know, people would book, you know, for that weekend or 2 weeks out.
Right.
Which is really not a trend in previous years. So I'm wondering if we're going to see that, or if we're going to see longer term bookings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, so we're actually seeing, interesting. Ironically, we are seeing quite a bit of interest for June, as well as interest for July 4th week. So it's still there. People are still looking, and the bookings are trickling in a bit too. So it's one of those to where I feel like we're going to have a reverse bell curve much more than we usually do for the busy booking seasons. You know, we're right now, you know, it's up, like a lot of places are up, but I feel like in March, April, we're going to have a bit of a lull. And then those last minuters for that summer, when everything's cleared up, hopefully, and you know, all the vaccines are out and all this stuff. You know, once we can breathe that sigh of relief, then yeah, it's going to be a feeding frenzy for beach destinations, and then soon after, once the ski season goes in for the ski destinations. Yeah. So I just feel like it's going to be a good year. I really hope, and hopefully everybody out there listening that is in our industry will see that effect and. Good luck and blessings to all of you for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And keep staying limber.
Right. Exactly. And that's the thing. Yeah, exactly. I really hope nobody goes out and just doesn't try now because I said, oh, yeah, it's going to be a good year.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's got to be some work that needs to be done. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's like I was saying a little bit earlier, is, you know, different audiences. I mean, there's going to be people that are going to want to see different things. When you get a different audience, you've got to market differently to that different audience. They want to see something different. You can't expect to apply the same thing with everyone and for it to work.
Right.
So be thinking about that, thinking about how you can adjust to kind of meet those demands of the consumer. You know, not only with like your maybe cancellation policies, but just with how you advertise and your voicing and how you present yourself to them. So yeah. I think people are looking for it, though. I mean, it is. You can feel the want of consumers wanting to get out and go and have a vacation because they mm-hmm. did. They got cheated in 2020.
Right.
So
right. We've had enough.
It's there. Yeah. And I think probably everyone's had enough of us, so we probably should close out.
I think so. I think so. If you lasted this long, then thumbs up to you and thank you.
Yeah, good for you for lasting this long if you made it to the end. If you have any questions or comments or
and just so you know, we don't cut all, these much. This has been straight talking for us for this 45 minutes. Yeah.
And we could keep going. We really could.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. We've had our coffees.
You can find us on Facebook at Intercoastal Net Designs, Twitter at Intercoastal, or you can email us podcast@icoastalnet.com. We've appreciated all the feedback that we've gotten from you guys. We're glad that people are enjoying us just meeting and talking and kind of sharing what we're learning in the industry, and because it's a constant learn and adapt. Yeah. So, and if you have any questions or feedback for us, we're always open to that. So
yeah, I'm also interested too. Before we close, yeah. Anybody out there that is not seeing a good year so far, shoot me an email and shoot us an email. It's easier to just send it to podcast@icoastalnet.com. Just shoot us an email and we can do like an analysis of your market if you don't have anything along those lines. See what the trends are and stuff like that. Because we're kind of data nerds. So the more data we have, the bigger picture that we have. But a lot of our clients are up. So we want to not alienate those ones that are struggling out of the gate for whatever reason.
Yeah. When it gives us a better picture of what's going on, you know, the more data, the better.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and it helps, you know, with the show. I mean, we can kind of share what we've learned, and it sort of helps everyone out.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks again.
Until next time. Thanks, guys.